Nick Schenkel, July 2nd, Long Review. Officer Clemens, a memoir by Dr. Francois S. Clemens. Soon after I arrived at Third Presbyterian, I approached my choir director about doing a special service of spirituals and Bible passages for Good Friday. I told him that I thought of the service like a Black Lenten Lessons and Carols. It only took him a moment to consider. He totally fell for the idea. In no time, we set about choosing passages of the Passion of Christ to match and augment some of the more powerful and simple American Negro spirituals I had in mind. Were you there? There is a balm in Gilead, and he's never said a mumbling word, head of the list. It was fun. We were like one mind singing and serving in harmony for our communal Savior. Everyone, including Fred Rogers, came out that Good Friday noon. My choir director said that in the 15 years he had been there, he had never seen Third Presbyterian so packed for a Friday afternoon Lenten service. I was appropriately humbled. I pulled out all the stops, along with my choir director, and the audience responded approvingly. When it was over, they lingered and shared with one another how deeply touched they had been. Several people came over to my choir director, and he encouraged me to meet them. I was gratified. I spent a full 30 minutes listening to and shaking hands with my new parishioners. Fred Rogers was among them. Of course, I already knew who he was. There was nothing outward about Fred to call attention to him. Not his physique, not his dress, not his voice, nothing. What is all the fuss about, I asked myself. I'm glad I never said it aloud. My clearest memory of that occasion was of Fred Rogers' sincerity and the deep look bordering on passion in his gentle blue eyes. He nailed me when he took my hand, turned his head slightly, and paused, as though he was waiting for me to say something. I waited too, because it was he who had come over to talk to me. He took his time and spoke of my lovely voice, my compelling interpretations, and the genuine effect the songs had on him during the service. I smiled and returned his warmth and sincerity. It was easy to accept his praise. There was something serious, yet comforting and disarming about him. His eyes hugged me without touching me. Officer Clemens, a memoir. Come for Fred Rogers. Stay for Officer Clemens. Our true story begins as a praiseful book to the late Fred Rogers, famed minister, father, and star of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Clemens devoting his introduction to a letter to his late friend and mentor, Fred Rogers. As Clemens writes, "Dear Fred, my guardian angels, spirit guides, ancestors, literary agent, many friends and acquaintances have urged me to write this book for over 20 years. I've been amazed by the unabashed curiosity that is readily shown by folks, those close to me, as well as outright strangers. I most frequently asked, was he really like that? Meaning your television persona. Usually, my initial response is simply, yes. Early on, I fully grasped your enormous popularity, and at the same time, I learned about your unusual and an immense patience. It's so amazing to me that even during dinner, as we'd travel across the country, I'd watch you permit complete strangers to greet you, interrupt meals, and tell you their life stories. You would stop eating and patiently wait to sign your name and a gentle message that they might request. You never got angry or annoyed. Our relationship was sustained, intense, and elbow to elbow. For me, you fulfilled the role of mentor, fan, and surrogate father. Fred, you were a real person to me. It's important to me that others know that. Lord knows you had your successes and failures like anybody else, but you taught through example, not to live down in the valley of disappointment. We all must learn to rise up and start over again. You practiced it, and you helped me to practice it, particularly regarding my biological family. You taught me forgiveness and love. For you, forgiveness and love were action verbs, and it was imperative to live their true meaning one day at a time. Because of you, I was able to seek reconciliation with my father, my stepfather, and my mother, even after their deaths. The most beautiful gift you gave me, however, was to help me to accept that there are no accidents and that our unusual friendship was meant to be." And so indeed, Fred Rogers and his wife Joanne are a big part of the story here. But as I said, come for Mr. Rogers, stay for Officer Clemens. Clemens' true life story begins as a young boy in rural Mississippi. Born in 1945, Clemens brings to life stories of his extended family, led by the extraordinary great-grandmama Laura May, and featuring such hard-to-forget characters as the baffled but kindly granddaddy Saul in his talking walking stick, Clemens' long-suffering mother, and his anger-filled, jealous father, followed sadly by an all-too-often drunken stepfather. Clemens and his family are forced from their ancestral home, the plantation, where his past relatives had worked as enslaved persons. After incessant rain threatens to sweep their home from its moorings, they gather what little they can and make their sodden journey on foot for miles and miles into Alabama. Seems some of Clemens' kinfolk have relatives in Tuscaloosa. But the call of the hopefully less segregated and more prosperous North calls, and after a year of secretly scrimping and saving, the women folk of Clemens' life announced they are moving their families to Northern Ohio, the burgeoning industrial city of Youngstown. And by train, many of them, including Francois and his siblings and mother, make the one-way trip. What follows is a tale filled with segregationist Jim Crow laws that too often remind Clemens, even today, of his boyhood in the South. It's a telling of a story too often told still today, a story where the young Francois Clemens quickly learns that parts of Youngstown are safe for a young black boy, and some are not. And he is refreshingly frank, sharing with us his frustration and anger, remembering which of his white friends are willing to stand by him in moments of rank discrimination, and which means most, will simply shrug their shoulders and accept that life rewards them and leaves their African-American schoolmate behind. But as we know from his success, Clemens not only survives, he finds ways to thrive. For through all the trials, the tribulations, and the worries, young Francois Clemens had his songs. First, the wonderful church spirituals he learned and he loved. The songs he sang with his beloved Grandpa Saul on their many trips into the Mississippi countryside as they conversed and sang at the behest of Granddaddy Saul's talking cane. And once in Ohio, Clemens discovers, as well, the new now music of Motown and falls in love with the classic leader and arias that his high school mentors urge him to learn. Songs are Francois Clemens' refuge and his strength, as is his belief in God, a God he first meets in the Baptist church at home in rural Mississippi, a God he continues to discover in the Episcopal church during his college years in Pittsburgh. And it is in Pittsburgh where he comes to embrace the exciting and healing solace of spirituals, the church's choir director, as the church's choir director and his wife take the teenaged Clemens into their lives as mentors and teachers. It's a God Clemens continually rediscovers in the Presbyterian minister he and we know as Mr. Rogers. Perhaps most of all, Clemens comes to discover God and music as the centerpiece of his life, singing African-American spirituals. It was that singing, after all, that brought Fred Rogers into Clemens' life. And it was singing those spirituals that would lead him through to a career at the Metropolitan Opera, onto the stage of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and beyond, to his all but idyllic career at mountain-kissed Middlebury College in Vermont. Clemens is so much like the Fred Rogers he so admires, kindly, thoughtful, quietly loving of all people. But there is the urge of sex within these pages, too. The kindly black officer we remember from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was once a youth, he reminds us gently in these pages. And the sexuality Clemens discovers is not one of which any of his churches approves. For Clemens discovers early in his youth that he's attracted to boys, not girls. Clemens realizes he's gay. Much of the book relates Clemens finding himself in those years, and as a boomer myself, I understand the need and the fascination with slogging through this time. You don't really slog through it in this book, but it certainly takes up a good number of pages. We travel with the young, budding, and clearly talented singer as he goes to Oberlin College, and after achieving that undergraduate degree, moves on to grad school at Pittsburgh. We're at his side as he lands a gig with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and then finds himself embraced by the New York Metropolitan Opera, sufficiently paid so that he can not only find creativity with the opera, but has the time and the wherewithal to tour not only singing with the opera, but singing his beloved spirituals, and keeping a ready bag packed so he can travel on Allegheny Airlines back to Pittsburgh to sing in the magical neighborhood with his friend and lifelong mentor, Fred Rogers. Clemens spends a few inspiring moments talking with Martin Luther King Jr. and falls into a tailspin of despair when he learns of King's assassination. Our author comes more than once full circle in his life, finding new beginnings, new cities, new challenges, a wealth of new people and experiences, all of it wrapped in the warm mentorship that Fred Rogers gave Clemens so quietly, so effectively. Finally, let's note this would not be a true memoir of our times if Clemens did not share with us his dilemmas of life in a modern America as a black man. Acknowledging the irony of his playing a black cop on a beloved children's TV program, of his continual anger and bewilderment at openly hostile discrimination thrown at him by folks unimpressed with his talent and his love of music. They are stories, events that rock any sensitive reader's soul, and I am sure Clemens, in his firm but quiet faith, means for them to do just that. I like to give note from time to time to other folks who have read the same book I have read, and this snippet of a review from Goodreads captures my experience so beautifully, I want to share it with you. As Gail C. wrote about Officer Clemens, quote, "Opening Dr. Francois Clemens' book, Officer Clemens, is like slicing warm butter. With the first sentence, you are already into the essence of the book, and it is so easy to just sit and read. And before you know it, you've read 20 pages, then 50. And so on until you make yourself put it down for a bit. There is a wonderful conversational style to the book that is like sitting in a room with Dr. Clemens, listening to him tell you the story of his life." End quote. Well, enough said. It's a book of two beloved characters, two fantastic men, and a memoir well told. Let's finish with Francois Clemens' own words as he concludes his book, Officer Clemens. "I often think of Fred today in light of all that is happening in our world. There is violence against children everywhere. Guns, war, and random attacks against unarmed civilians seem to be the order of the day. On the daily newscasts, we see the tortured faces of young and often helpless children as they reflect the full story of these battles, sometimes about religion, or race, or political systems. Time and again we see that children are traumatized in the midst of adult conflicts while they desperately search in vain for their parents or someone who will help them. Fred would certainly not be happy. Much of the time, I'm not very happy. Many times, I'm not sure we're necessarily meant to be happy in this life. There's so much work to be done. There are times I feel a deep sense of contentment, and I have known satisfaction from a job well done. But happiness is another matter altogether. There's simply too much going on and not caring or kind or unsure of other people today." Fred not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. His life was an example for everyone. One cannot just sit around and pretend we don't know what's going on and do nothing. In my humble opinion, our society has evolved in such a way that Fred would hardly recognize it. Fred was simply a man concerned about society, and he left a legacy of care for his fellow men. Everyone had value as far as he was concerned. What people said and how they behaved was important to him. It is important to me, too. Officer Clemens, a memoir. It's available at all of our fine public libraries. I hope you'll take time to find it on our local library shelves, or ask for it through curbside delivery. Officer Clemens will introduce you to a world you'll be glad you visited. Thanks for listening.